like most everything pertaining to the Lord, why water baptism is really pretty simple and straightforward. It's as simple as God said, do it, so just do it. And during his time on the earth, Jesus was clear that he was giving us a pattern by which to do it. Being baptized is really an act of submission, but it's also an act of faith. It's a clear delineation of who you are and how you're separated from the world. By submitting to the prescription of baptism, we are identifying ourselves with Christ. And we're doing it in such a way that declares that to the world. And it really doesn't matter whether you have an entire church observing the baptism or whether it's just a matter of a couple of people down by river. Because in truth, why baptism is more a spiritual act than it is a physical act. Come on, let's face it, all of us have taken a bath, so it's not like we haven't been wet before. But there are a couple things about that that maybe need to be mentioned. First off, the Lord has been very clear about the fact that we should do everything by faith. And that includes going and getting dunked in the water, which is a symbolic act. Symbolism part of it has to do with being buried, like Christ was buried, and coming up clean and a new man. That's all pretty clear. I mean, when you think about it a little bit, it's easy to get muddled into thinking, but when you think about it a little bit, it's pretty easy to see. This is an act of symbolism that parallels what happened with Christ going in the grave. But when he came out of the grave, he came out as a new man, a man of power, and very certainly a man of faith. There is a pattern here that is clearly pointing to something beyond just being submerged in water. And in this pattern is submission and obedience. God said, do it, and just doing it in itself is an act of faith. If you're not one of the people who has run from the bathtub like the characters in old movies, then getting a little wet, it was not the act. That's not what this is about at all. But if you're exercising your faith, when you come up, you will come up with cleanness that you never experienced before in your life. And believe me, personal acts with a sense of cleanliness right down to the core of my being that I couldn't really explain. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there. So most definitely there was an element of submission and obedience. But there's something else that was going on along with this, and that has to do with becoming the new creation that the Bible talked about. A creation who is absolutely identified with the Lord. And this statement of identity is not one for the world only. The statement of identity is one that stands before the entirety of the heavenlies. That means all the angels, all the devils, all the demons, all the people who have ever lived in the earth, but more than that, all people who have ever been created, all the entities or individuals like angels. Not only the angels above, but the angels beneath too, the fallen angels. Everybody knows who you are from the point that you have done this on. Because just like a herald or that used to wander through the streets declaring the news of the day, this news has been blasted throughout the heavenlies, and every eternal being hears it. And once that door has been opened, that declaration has been made, then things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit with power, it becomes a reality, becomes an active reality, something that can change and influence in your life in a whole different direction. Suddenly you find yourself being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ who works in power and authority in everything he does. When my wife and I were baptized, the man who was baptizing us told us that we should ask the Lord for something by faith and just receive it on that day. And we did. And we have never deviated from what we believed that day. We believed for our whole family to be saved. Now why? Does it has extended beyond generational line? Our grandchildren are saved, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is just the beginning. It's not the end. That's just the beginning. Because in salvation, there is eternal life. That eternal life is in Christ. If there's only two choices, there is the choice of life or death, blessing or cursing. That's the choices before us. And everybody gets to make the choice. Those who choose life will live eternally in Christ. Those who choose death, furnace along with the rest of the trash. And no one going into the furnace can blame anybody but themselves, because the entire creation testifies of the Lord. the whole earth tells you about the Lord. When you look at the trees, you can see the hand of God. When you look at stars, you can see the hand of God. So even those who have lived in the middle of the country in some foreign land and have never heard an evangelist know just from their own observations that there's something going on here that is more than just what is physically seen. But if there's no one to preach the gospel, the promise of God, may never know the glorious promise that has been given to them through his reading. Very superficial, based only on the things that they have seen. I do not say that to diminish them, but I just say that because the truth is just as simple as the truth is the same in young people. Yet they don't know, but when they do know, when they do get the information, like through education, then they become a whole different kind of force in the world that can change things. And that's who we're born to be. We're born to be the people who change things through the spirit realm, according to the way God has designed everything to be. And ultimately, that's going to be the way it is. Everything will be the way God set it in order to be, and nobody can alter that, nobody can change that. But for each of us individually, well, that may be a little more complex, because individually, we look at only little pieces and parts of life. And usually it's from our little selfish perspectives. We want to affect more than just the very shell of things of life, then there are three things we need to do. First is we must embrace life, the life that God promised, and that only comes through salvation, through the born-again experience. When we are born again, our spirits come to life, and we become living beings. Second is the act of baptism. When we submit ourselves to the Lord and become baptized, recognizing that He is God and we're identifying ourselves with Him, we've become a different person. We have a different background that opens doors for us. And that brings us to the third step. The door that is open for us suddenly becomes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And through that baptism, we walk in power in Christ to become effective ministers of the Lord in the earth. And every little part of life becomes the ministry. If somebody's sick and you encounter them and you lay hands on them and heal their body, that testifies of the power of the Lord. If you encounter somebody who is despondent, having been beat by the circumstances of life, and you pray for them and they are freed from that oppressive spirit, that testifies of the presence of the Lord and testifies of the promise that He has made to lift you up so that you may be like Him. So I encourage you, first, be baptized in obedience to the instructions of the Lord, having been born again by the life by Him, and you are encouraged to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you may be a powerful force of ministry in the earth on behalf of the Lord. When you do these things, do it remembering, this is all about God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. Somebody who is world famous or unheard of, it doesn't really matter. What really matters is, in all, we are designed to be in one another, and then we in Christ, and Christ in the Father, and we're all one. If you read through John chapter 17, you'll see that, and that paints a picture of what life is all about, both for us and for the Lord, what He's doing in the earth. We are one, and we don't know that. It's one of the things we need to find out. But the first step of this oneness process is being submitted, baptized, becoming one with the Spirit, and identifying ourselves with God. That whole lone wolf thing, and I'm totally independent, is just way off track. It is just not true. The whole earth testifies the air of that. The entire earth is one part depending on another part, top of the chain to the bottom. It is clearly seen when we stop looking at ourselves with such a prideful, arrogant opinion of ourselves, thinking that we can control the earth. That's nonsense. The earth was created for us and is given to us to manage. It is not so that we can exhibit our independence from our Creator, but rather so that we can learn how to become one with Him, working in Him, through Him, and by Him. And the first step in that process is being baptized in water for the remittance of sin. Basically, getting cleaned up before we get empowered. And if we won't get cleaned up, we just don't get empowered. Put very simply, there just won't be any rebels in the household of God. It all starts with the new birth, then moves on to water baptism, which is an act of obedience. Then the power starts coming. Until obedience is taken care of, it's not going to happen.